The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Hey, you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, and we can talk. We can blab, all that kind of stuff. All right, all right. That's interesting. The color looks a little bit weird on the camera. I wonder why that is. Anyway, we'll record that a little bit later. All right, so I want to hear from you. And if, also on this wonderful May 23rd, 2023, if you want to email me, you know, you don't want to call the on the show, or you're intimidated or whatever. People are sometimes afraid. My wife's afraid to get on the air. I want her to get on the air, though, talk about stuff. But anyway, hey, if you want to call, 877-207-2276. And if you want to, you can send an email, info@carm.org, info@carm, C-A-R-M .O-R-G, and just put in the subject line radio comment or radio question, and we can get to the stuff that you want to get to. All right, we can do it that way as well. Let's see, today is Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, we have our meeting. Man, everything's so blue. What is with the color? Oh, that's weird. Anyway, I'll figure it out later. But if you want to watch, you know, people do that too. You can watch the show. It's a lot of fun. People go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live. They'll do that. And we have a lot of fun in there in the text. Sometimes I talk about it when we get back from the breaks and stuff like that. And I say, hey, you know, we're talking about, I'm laughing. One time I remember someone said something stupid funny. Right as I'm coming back on the air, and I started cracking up right when I got to talk, and that was fun. We had a good time there. So, okay, having said all of that, you can give me a call. All right. And we have nobody waiting right now. So, there you go. All right. Okay, so last night, as I often do, I will get on Discord. Discord's where I go a lot to have conversations, and I really do enjoy a great deal. I enjoy answering questions and being able to talk. And on the radio, you know, it's one kind of a format. And on in Clubhouse and other venues, one of the things I'll do is I'll tell them that if they interrupt me, you know, a little bit, okay. But if they interrupt, they say, I'm not going to talk to you, you know. And been doing this now for years. That I mean, I don't like to be interrupted. I mean, you know, when people ask me questions and then I start answering, then they jump in and continue about something. I say, what are you doing? You asked me a question. Do you want me to answer? And over the years, they've learned that, well, you know, when I come into a room, you know, it's just, hey, you know, ask me a question. If you do, just let me answer it. That's all. Just let me answer. No, I'll get to it. And if you don't want me to do that, then just tell me, you know, you want to just overtalk. And I go, fine, just go ahead. And then I'll just go someplace else. And so people get mad. And now what happens is that so I go into a room, right? And they'll say, like this lady comes on yesterday, hey, Matt, are you going to leave if someone doesn't treat you right? I said, that's correct. I'm out of here because you said that. Bye. And I leave. I'm trying to train people. Come on, talk intelligently, talk politely. Let's have real conversations and stuff. And it gets interesting, you know. And when they don't seem to like, they don't like when I require that they be nice. You know, be nice. You just be nice. You know, talk to me. Be nice. You know, and they don't want to do that a lot of times because a lot of people are obstreperous. Oh, Humble Clay, I'm reading him. It just reminds me, I got a cup of coffee right here. He says, I like my coffee like I like my women. Bitter. So, that's pretty funny. I think it was one of the lines that he said. People say some good stuff in our lines, you know, in the chat. If you want to join, you can. It's rumble.com/MattSlick Live, all one word. You can check that out. All right, I'm going to get a sip of coffee. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love coffee. I love it so much I would marry it. I told my wife that once, and she said, don't you dare, because we're already married, so you know. All right, we got a call coming in, and let's get to Billy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Billy, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, I need to know, what are your prayer needs?
Mine?
Yes.
Mine are for my wife, for her body to be healed, for her pain to go away, for her hands to work properly, her feet to work properly, and all the stuff that she gets mad at me for saying over the air. But that's what that is. What, her name's Anik. A-N-N-I-C-K. Yeah.
But
I do have some other needs. Yeah. One of the things we need here at the ministry is we need people who can help out doing various things like SEO, search engine optimization stuff. We need video editing work. We need a lot of help. Just things like that. But other than that, mainly I pray for my wife and salvation of our children. Stuff like that. Basic stuff. You know?
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Sure. So I'm just curious. How come you're asking? I mean, I'm glad you are. You going to pray for us?
I think that's a need we all have.
Yeah, okay, well, also, here, you know, since you're, okay, it is a need we all have, let me focus a little and say this, that this ministry is tough, that we come under spiritual attack, and we need people praying and interceding on behalf of this ministry. We need people out there who will lift up CARM and ask God to protect us, protect the technology, protect the people like Joanne, Laura, Charlie. We have a guy in Brazil, we have a guy in Colombia, we have a guy in Turkey. Then there's my wife, she works with the ministry, and then me. And we always need prayer coverage that before the radio show, every radio show, we pray before we go on the air. So we need this prayer coverage. And we're under a lot of attack. The ministry's under a lot of attack. We're losing traffic. And a lot of ministries are, I found out, because Google is moving more and more towards the secular, and they're using official authorities as things like Wikipedia instead of experts on certain theological topics like myself in certain areas and others in other areas. And so our traffic is decreasing, and it's happening across the board with a lot of Christians. So there's a lot of needs like that. I mean, you know, you kind of asked, and I just talked about it a little bit, but there you go.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
Sure. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. I guess that's that. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You know, since you brought that up, let me just talk about it a little bit. We have, it's, you know how the ministry goes. I'll just talk about aspects of the challenges that we face here. And just because he said that, prayer needs, and we have nobody waiting right now. So I can tell you stories where Satanists have threatened to kill me, my family. We've had the FBI involved. We've had people tell me they're going to sue us, destroy the ministry. We've had people follow us, my wife and me, in cars. I've done years of martial arts, you know, because of it. I'm trying not to get too detailed. I carry, you know, here in Idaho, you can do that. I've been swatted. You know, that's when someone calls up and says, you know, my name is so-and-so. They use my name and then said that, you know, I did something really bad. I want to say it over the air. And then the police showed up and the SWAT team kind of a thing and, you know, walking out front backwards, hands in the air. This kind of stuff, guns pointed at me. So I've had that happen. And we've had attacks, DOS attacks, DDoS attacks on the site. We've had various things happen. We've had the server go down before for days. That's happened. And so we're under a great deal of scrutiny. People will email us threatening this is and that's. So we have to be careful. And so we were under a lot of persecution, a lot of pressure, but nothing compared to our guy in Nigeria. So I forgot to mention, we have a guy in Nigeria and another missionary guy in Malawi. And the guy in Malawi, he does okay, and he's a great guy. And we have our Friday meetings every morning, every Friday. And usually everybody can make it except for those guys. We haven't had the Nigeria guy in for a few weeks because his phone's been stolen. He's had to run to the hills when the Muslims have come in to kill people, and this happening. And if you do research on the persecution genocide that's occurring in Nigeria, you'll find stuff, but nobody's really talking about it. And the reason is because it's the Christians who are getting killed. The Muslims are going in on motorcycles with AK-47s, going into villages and shooting them up. And it's happening more and more. And so he sent us pictures of him preaching and teaching and various things. And he's the one who really needs most of the prayer. And he'll just disappear for 2 or 3 weeks. We have ways of communicating. I won't say how. And he'll let us know if he's still around, what's going on. One time he had to flee, and 2 hours later his home was shot up. He sent, I want to tell you two graphic stuff, but he has sent videos of things that the Muslims are doing and to people. And, you know, I'm not even going to mention it. And so we know there's a persecution there. So Christianity is under assail. It's being attacked. It's being attacked in our country here. And our country is obviously in bad shape. You know, open borders and rich people passing laws that exclude themselves from the penalties and the things that are going on. And the fact that our country and our social structure is falling apart and the people don't even know what righteousness is anymore. Our country's done. Unless God gives us a revival, our country's going to fall. And then we'll face real persecution. Maybe we'll have foreign countries come in. Maybe we'll have a dictator come in and say Christians are the reason that we're having a problem, just like Hitler did with the Jews. Who knows? I'm not saying it's going to happen. But there's just a lot of attacks in varying levels and varying degrees. I've even had things happen in the house here where we had our children here before they moved out, and they said they would see things in the house. And so I had to go through and pray over the house and anoint the walls and doors and everything, and to get that to stop. This sounds, sounds spooky, but it's true. We've had this kind of stuff occur, and it's just part of the ministry, and it's okay. And one of the things, I'll say to people jokingly, I'll say, "Yeah, look at my face. This is what it does to you," a lot of people go, "Oh, that explains it," but on the flip side, I've learned a great deal, experienced a great deal, and by God's grace, and only by His grace, I'll be able to do radio and answer questions and teach and hopefully point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And before the break here, remember to pray for the ministry of the radio station, okay, the Truth Network. Stu owns it. He does a great job, and their job and their goal is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through radio. And they have me on. I've been on for a few years. Great people, great folks, and just pray for them too. There's the music. Hey, if you want to give me a call, we have nobody waiting. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, it's easy to do. All I have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We're a caller-driven show. I hope to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. All right, so I think that, there we go. All right, so let's get on the air with, let me hit the button here, Ron from California. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Matt. I'm the individual that sent you my tithing paper a while back.
The tithing what? Paper?
I sent you a tithing paper a while back. I'm the same individual, and you asked if I'd be interested in maybe writing some articles for Karn. But anyway, I have a question about the humanity of Christ.
Yes.
He had a human spirit like we do. Is that correct?
Yes, Jesus has two natures, divine and human. And so therefore, as we have a spirit in a nature of being human, so too he has as well.
Okay. So I was wrestling with this thought one time prior to going to sleep. So Jesus had the fullness of the Godhead indwelling him bodily. He has a human spirit. He has his spirit. So my question is, when he died and was in the grave, how did he preach to those who were captive? Revelations 1 said that he died, so I know that he physically died. What happened to his spirit, and how does all of that work as far as how he was able to preach to others, though he was dead and so forth?
Because you can go to 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, where it says, Paul says, I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but such a man was caught up to the third heaven, and he heard things, saw things, and he can't speak about them. So this means you could be conscious, very much aware, even though you're separated from your body. Human nature is not just the human body. A lot of people don't know that. But you have to understand that the nature of our humanity is such that we can exist in a human sense apart from the physical body. We don't have to have the physical body in order to exist. So if you take, for example, if you were to take someone, that had their arms amputated or legs amputated, you're still human. So the human nature, the human spirit is not restricted to their physical aspect. So having said that, then Jesus, who was both divine and human, is the Word, and in his personhood is also human. Then the two natures and the attributes of both natures still were retained by the single person of Christ, who, after his physical death, was still the hypostatic union, and then went and made proclamation in the heaven, in the afterlife. Furthermore, you can see in Luke 16, 19 through 31, where Lazarus and the rich man, they both die, and there's a conversation that goes on after death.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. So it's possible.
Okay. So then, it's either Ecclesiastes 12:12, Ecclesiastes 10:10 says when someone dies, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And so when Christ died, did his spirit go up to his heavenly Father? Did it? So I'm just trying to piece it all together.
So what probably happened is he went and spoke to the spirits and the people in prison and proclaimed to them the truth of who he is and what he has done. And that's what it seems to be the case in 1 Peter 3, 18 through 19, and also Ephesians chapter 4, verses roughly 8 through 10. So
so it's kind of a mystery how his spirit spoke to them. I mean, they're...
It's just that he was alive. You don't have to be in your body to talk to people. Okay, the spirit exists.
Okay,
and also about Ecclesiastes, one of the things a lot of people miss about Ecclesiastes, it says in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, okay, right there, it talks about vanity. It says, what advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? What this perspective is a human perspective. So how does it look? Well, the spirit goes back to be with God. He's just talking about this. The dead don't know anything and things like that. So we have to be careful that we don't make too many doctrinal statements out of here related to our humanity, because other areas of Scripture are very clear where this is a perspective from how we see things from our human perspective here on earth. So if that helps or not, okay?
Yeah, because of the genre, it's not going to be as, adamant about doctrine as much as like the narratives and stuff, correct?
Right, right. Okay. All right.
Well, I appreciate that, and I was talking about these things with my Bible study group, And I told them this was a little bit above my pay grade, but I would find out and get back to them. So I appreciate the information.
Okay. Now what I would recommend you do is to go to CARM and look up the areas in Christian theology dealing with Jesus and his two natures. Do you want to look up what's called the hypostatic union? And you want to look up
yes,
the
I'm very
communication.
Acquainted with that. Yeah.
Okay. And the communication of the properties. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Okay.
These are that, and a lesser known doctrine is called inseparable operations. But those are some of the doctrines and stuff that you would need to know in order to have a better understanding of who Christ is and the issue and the relationship of the attributes of both natures that are ascribed to the single person, and to be aware that he can be fully cognizant away from his physical body just as we can be. Okay?
So the inseparable operations, that part of the perichoresis?
Very good. Very good. I'm impressed. Yes, that's correct. So the perichoretic relationship of the intertrinitarian persons have a relationship of inseparable operations, which is why Jesus says, John 5:19, John 5:30, he says, I can only do what I see, present tense, the Father does. So there's this sense in which the mutual indwelling perichoretically is such that what the Son does, the Father does, and vice versa, except yet it retains distinction. So yeah, it's more complicated, but it's interesting.
Good because of the Kenosis passage in Philippians, correct? So he's had limitations here on this earth.
Yeah, the Carmen Christi. Now, we don't know if he had limitations because the attributes of both natures are ascribed to the single person. And we can't say that the person had less attributes in his divine nature because that would mean then, since the attributes emanate out of the nature, then that's what the properties are. They are not equal to the nature, but they emanate from the nature. So if he has a divine nature, then the properties of divinity are ascribed to him as well. This is called the communicatio idiomatum. The question then becomes, in the Carmen Christi, in the Incarnation, Philippians 2:5-8, what is it that, what limitations might he have cooperated with in order to communicate with us? To be on our level.
He just chose
so those are discussions.
Not operate on his own authority, correct?
I'm sorry, say it again?
He just chose not to operate on his own authority. He was completely submitted to the Father.
That's a good statement to work from, because he would by nature have his own authority, but yet in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me. This gets more complicated, and there's nuances about it, but you're on the right track, man. You're on the right track, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. God bless. There's a break. You got to go.
All right,
go.
God bless.
All right, we'll
Thank
see you.
All right.
Okay. All right. That was a good question. Good stuff. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get on with Guy from North Carolina. Guy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Matt. I listen to you a whole lot. I'm 56 years old and on disability. And even though I don't agree with y'all on doctrine, anybody lifting up the name of Jesus Christ excites me. I'd rather be listening to you than be in a pool hall, you know what I'm saying? But I grew up in an alcoholic family. My mom died when I was 20 years old. She wasn't but 45 and died of cancer. And my stepdaddy died in 86 from lung cancer. And I'm basically all alone. I've never been married, never had no kids, and I'm facing right now, being on disability, a low income, limited housing. I'm stuck basically in a drug hotel in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I find myself bored, have nothing to do, no family, no spouse, no kids, and I find myself slowly drinking myself to death and smoking myself to death, but I love the Lord. But it seems like I've given up on life and don't know what to do, and I hope you'll give me some solutions today. And I've gotten on my hands and knees many a time asking God for a good spouse, and it seems like all the women I've ever been with has just used me up and moved on. And it seems like we're living in some crazy times and don't seem like it's going to get any better.
All right. Well, what I would pray for instead of a wife is I'd pray that God would make you the man that a wife can trust and a wife can be led by.
Yes, sir.
And pray
That's
for
right.
him to change you. Yeah. Pray for him to change you and to make you better. And it may take a while. And you do
yes,
that,
sir.
And it's hard. And it is. Most people say, you know, make, you know, give me a good wife, give me a good husband, whatever. They should be praying, Lord, make me to be the husband or the wife that you would want me to be in order to be married. That's what needs to happen. Okay,
that's right.
The other thing is that checking something here is purpose is what we need. Now, you have a purpose.
Exactly.
But you don't know what your purpose is.
I've been seeking. That's right.
So what I tell people
I used to be on fire for the Lord.
Well, that's okay.
It seemed like I'd just give up, and I turned to alcohol for comfort, and I messed with a number of prostitutes in my younger days. And I lived like a pig. I'm not going to lie to you. I grew up in church, a good Bible-believing church. But I lived in the country and moved to the city and had the cultural shock of my life in 1996 when I moved to the city.
Yeah.
And it's just like back home. They marry young, and then when you're ready to date, nobody's available, you know. But I know
well, let's
that
talk
I,
about,
I know God's...
Yes, let's sir. Talk about getting you on track, okay?
Yes,
because
sir.
What you need to do is find a church, of course, and attend. But
I do.
Okay. What I think is helpful is to have a purpose, of a calling. We men, you know, we're different than the ladies. The ladies need, generally speaking, need more social connections and feelings than the average guy does. All right. So we are more goal-driven and goal-oriented. And so... Why don't you give this a shot? Why don't you consider talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, use me. And say, I want to be prepared. And I want you, and just ask the Lord, say, I don't care what you do with me, married or single, or here or there, or healthy or not, or whatever, rich or poor. You give yourself to him completely. And you just say, train me and use me. Now, generally what happens is things get worse when you ask that because God takes you seriously. He starts showing you your sin. He goes, I got something for you, but I got to clean you up first. And you're like, but I wanted it to be easy, you know, and it gets worse. And you're like, oh, man, but I'm not withdrawing that prayer. And you know how we men are. We don't mind failing. And our friends, male friends, we don't mind if they fail. Because we fail, we measure ourselves that way. And so the struggle is part of it. All right. And then what you can do in this process is you can continue to look to him and then experiment in areas that you want to try to meet others in. I mean, you could be doing anything. Like you drive around in your truck with a lawnmower in the back and you look for a home that it's overgrown and maybe there's old people there and they can't really do it and you go do it for free. You know, I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but it could be whatever it is. And you do it for the glory of God. It could be, as one of my favorite things I ever heard women do, was making caps. You know, they'd net them for newborns, you know, no hair. You know, they'll knit them and take them to the ladies at the hospitals and talk to them about the Lord. It's awesome. Well, me, what I do is I get on the internet and I write articles. This is my purpose. I do apologetics, do radio, I do all this stuff here. And it's taken years to get to this place. But that's just an idea. I know guys who are retired, and their job before God is to do what the Lord puts in their path to help others. And it could be a range of things. Maybe fixing something in someone's house or not. And they'll do stuff, and it takes time and struggle. You just don't know. It doesn't matter as long as you're asking. And the reason this is important is because it gives you purpose. And because then you turn to that instead of the bottle. And then you gradually move this way. And it's this kind of a thing. But it's not easy all the time, of course. But that's just life.
Okay. I was in AA not too long ago, and a guy asked, and I hate that I didn't talk to him. He said, I'm looking for people that'll do service work. And it's like I had a nudging in my heart. Well, that's what I need. That's what I need. But for some reason, I didn't talk to him, and I need to get back up with him because that's my problem. I've got too much time on my hands. And I want to be used for good instead of sitting around feeling sorry for myself. Poor, pitiful me, you know.
Yeah.
But your ministry's been a blessing to me. I listen to you on the radio pretty frequently. And Christianity is definitely under attack. Yes. I read a book many years ago in the 90s by Dr. Robert Moore called The Islamic Invasion. Mm-hmm. And Europe's all turned upside down, and it's happening in America now. You know, you hear the stuff on the college campuses and stuff now, you know, and it seems like America's in decline, and it's sad.
Absolutely. It is. It's in great decline.
Thank you so much.
It's in great danger. Our country's in great danger.
It really is. And we got a lot of debt going on. The culture seems to be really not interested in God anymore, but it's like me, you know.
Exactly right.
And I know when my parents was growing up and my grandparents, you know, people would pull together, but it's like now, it's like people don't care much anymore.
Right. You know, I was outside today, and one of our neighbors just moved in like a few days ago, new neighbors, okay? And I was doing something outside, and I saw them, and I went over and introduced myself to them. And we got talking a little bit. And the missus said, you know, I've talked to that person over there and waved to that person at that house. We're on a cul-de-sac over there, and they don't talk. And I said, you know, I said, here in Idaho, basically everybody's friendly, except for this cul-de-sac right here.
I've
been here almost 20 years, and I've hardly talked to anybody. And I said to her, I've talked to you more in the past 3-4 minutes than I have to them. You know, it's just ridiculous. But that's another example, you know, and Idaho's pretty friendly. I don't know what happened. They put all the non-sociable people on this block. I don't know what it is, but and so I said, look, you need any help, let me know, you know, and stuff like that. But you're right. The country's in trouble. But we shouldn't look to those things. We should look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so should you. Everybody has a spiritual gift.
Yes, sir.
You are gifted. I'm not just, you know, saying this, oh, you're all gifted, you're all wonderful. No, you have a gift. In fact, hold on, we got a break coming up. And hold on, and we'll talk about this after the break. I want you to know that you have a spiritual gift. I'm not just trying to cheer you up. I'm telling you something that you should already know. Okay, so hold on, okay?
Yeah.
Right back after these messages, folks. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Did a little microphone switch during the break, and hopefully that'll sound better. Sometimes we've got to do these things live to make them work. Okay, now, Guy, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You meant a blessing to me this evening, sir, and I do have a gift. I've had a lot of people through the years brag on my artwork. When I was homeless, I used to do artwork, and people in AA would say, you've got a talent, you know. And maybe that's what I need to do, is draw Christian portraits and stuff.
Sure.
And maybe use that as a witnessing tool. You know, you've really given me, and I'm almost in tears. I know men, they say men shouldn't cry, but you don't know how you blessed me so much this evening. I maybe, instead of buying them boxes of beer every day to cope with life, go get me some art supplies and maybe, you know, do some artwork and witness, you know, to people. Go to the park downtown and,
there
hey, you know, but I'm almost in tears. I think I just needed somebody like you, you know, that's a Christian to talk to. And I live in, my housing situation is pretty mm-hmm. bad. I live in a drug infested area. And, you know, a lot of prostitutes and stuff. And thank God he delivered me from that. But I come home and, you know, down the hallway at the hotel, you know, I hear loud music at my, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and people selling drugs and stuff. And it's like, I use an excuse. Well, you've got to drink to cope with it, guy, but I know that's the devil, you know. I know that's got to be Satan.
Right. And, you know, you got to understand that God knows the situation, and he allows situations to occur. It's what we do with them, in them.
Yes, sir.
And I remember my wife and I had a lot of financial difficulties, a lot of struggles early on, and I could have turned to things to cope. I didn't. Well, I did, actually. I went fishing. That was my coping. Fishing.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
And I would go. I did a lot of fishing there for a while. I'd go almost every other day and just throw a line in the water because it was therapeutic for me. And so, you know, you got to do what you got to do and survive. But you have to understand that God gives to everybody a certain ability and or abilities. And all you have to do is give them to God.
Excuse
me. So, God, what do you want me to do?
Yes, sir.
Like you do art. Okay, right? Go to the park, just like you said. Put up an easel and maybe a sign, you know, and or whatever, you know. If you depends on what you want to do and how you want to do it. You never know if you're going to be able to witness. You just don't know. So that's an option. And it might work. It might not be fruitful. And here's the thing, is that just because you have an idea and it sounds good and it's biblical and the motivation's good doesn't mean that's what God wants you doing right then and there. It may be, it may not be. It's just that when you go, and let's just say you go and it doesn't work out. Okay, that's okay. What else can you do? You know, or maybe it does work out, and it works out for a while, and then after a while it kind of changes. That's okay too. The idea is to do, is to move forward. That's what I tell people. Go forward. I have a saying, trust and go. And he opens doors, he closes doors, and he guides us through the process. Sometimes it takes years if you have a thick skull
that's
like
right.
me, and sometimes it takes a lot of time. It's got the same genetic deformity I do, a thick skull. And so sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes it takes not so much. It just depends on the person, situation. But you have gifting. You have it. Just do what you can to discover it and put it in God's hands. Now, you can't see this, but this is an illustration. It's an illustration I'm using. I have a camera, and I'm showing people. I'm showing a drawing that my daughter has done. And she did this drawing, and I'm putting it on the camera right now. She did it with a pencil, and it's just phenomenally good. It's just so phenomenal. It's as though someone took a picture and then put it in a computer and said, make it look like a drawing, but with a pencil. It's just that perfect. Well, you know,
yes,
she's
sir.
That talented. Well, I take the same pencil she did with one pencil. I take the same pencil, and I could barely draw stick figures. Well, people have different talents. And it's not, I tell you, the pencil is not, it's not the pencil. It's the hand that uses the pencil. You're the pencil.
Mm.
God's the hand. What can he do with what you have? In the
That's
hand
right.
of God, what you have can be done very well. And it might be that he just desires that you witness to one person a year. If that's what he wants, mm-hmm. and you accomplish his will, then you've done a greater thing than a lot of preachers and teachers. You see,
that's true.
Don't measure yourself by circumstances. Don't measure yourself by others. You get on your knees and you say, Lord, teach me, guide me. Just let me be used by you no matter what it is. Even if it's difficult and you get sick and then you're in a hospital and then the person next to you in the room you witness to. Sometimes that's what God does to us. You just don't know, and you got to trust him through it. Trust him through it. And don't look at I should be being used this way. Say, nope, I should be used the way God wants. And a lot of times I won't know what that is until I've been through it and look back on it. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. All right.
Are you from Idaho, sir?
Well, that's a hard one for me to answer because I've moved literally 40 times in my life. But the longest I've lived in one place is here in Idaho. I'm mostly from Southern California.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I lived in Hawaii and North Dakota, Wyoming, Texas. Yeah. So.
I pray that God blesses your ministry and everything. I try to get on a lot of the conservative radio shows during the day, but it's hard to get on, like, you know, people like Sean Hannity and stuff like that. But, I've been blessed today, and I want to thank you very much and ask everybody out there in radio land to pray for me. There's a lot of people that's on fixed income that have no family and everything, and they just don't know what to do. They sit around and they want to be used by God, but their income is limited, and they suffer from depression and alcoholism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
go on the internet.
I love the Lord. Okay.
Go on the internet. There are lots of avenues to witness, to pray for people, to be encouraging to people all over the internet. Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, Paltalk, Discord. There's just so many ways to be able to talk to people and to be used. You can witness. I mean, one of the things I do is I go on Facebook also, and I see these idolatrous things about Mary that come up. You know, Mary, our refuge, to thee we give our hearts. And I just put in there, stop the idolatry, you know, and I'll sometimes put comments and stuff like that. Yeah. So you just don't know. Just trust in God.
You know, in these times we're living in, we need the wisdom of angels to get through the times we're living in, don't we? I'm telling you, it's getting rough out here. I tell you what,
the wisdom of God.
Bad out here. People's got such. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, people are bad.
I went to the bus station the other day and tried to be friendly to somebody of a different race, and seen a scowl on the face. It's like, oh my God, you know. But
don't use the Lord's name in vain.
When I go out every day,
I'm going to tell you. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. That's just a thing I recommend. It's breaking the commandment. But a bus station's not the best place necessarily unless God calls you there, because there's so many transients there and it's such a temporary kind of a thing. And but you try. God could call you to it too. So, you know, it just depends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah.
You've been a big help, and thank you so much. I'm going to continue to listen to you as long as I've got breath in me. And, okay. Thank you so much, and I'm going to let you go because I'm sure there's other things you can talk about. And as you can tell, I love to talk a little bit.
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay. Now, just so you know, drinking is not a sin. Getting drunk is. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink to the one who's perishing and wine to the one who is in distress. So it's not a sin automatically. It is if it controls you. And it is, if you know, he says, don't be drunk. So I just want you to know that. But on the other hand, if it's your master, then you'd move away from that master, get that master out of your house, kind of a thing. Okay?
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
God bless you, my friend, and blessings to you and your family and all your loved ones. And thank you so much for being a friend and everything.
Well, I do want to help people, and I ask God daily, please, my Lord, please use me, send me, give me words to speak, people to help, whatever it is, whenever it is. And I ask it more than once a day. And I just want to be in service to Him and bring glory to His name. And that's it. What else is there to do? And with that, you have purpose. Because then your life is living for Him and not for yourself. And it's not on your circumstances, but it's on Him and what He can do. And in that, He often rewards us with a compassionate heart full of His presence. And then we have greater peace than we've known in a long time, because we're giving ourselves to Him completely. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay?
I tell you another thing that I need to start doing. I give up cigarettes and alcohol one time by just carrying a little pocket Testament in my pocket. And I would pick it up sometimes when I had the urge. And I quit one time doing that. And maybe that's another thing that would be a good tool for me. Is every time I have the urge, just pick up that little pocket thing out of, you know, the Bible and read it. Mm-hmm. And maybe get a bag of candy and put in my pocket. And
well, like not say, to give it away, because that wouldn't be wise. But for yourself, of course. Yeah, you know.
Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, pop a peppermint instead of a cigarette. Right.
Right. And and go to church and look on the internet for ways to witness, to share the faith. You'll find that first it'll be awkward,
yes, sir,
but gradually it gets better. And there's lots of opportunities for Christians to witness, to share, to do whatever they can to be encouraging and support for others. Okay?
I read a sermon not too long ago. It was called The
Man of the Saints. There's the music. Hey, I'm sorry, brother, we got to go. It's the end of the show. There's the music, so we got to go. All right? So sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you. And God bless. Have a good one.
All right, guy. Okay, man. You call back another time, all right? Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, we're out of time. There's the music. I got to go. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.